From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Thursday, July the 9th, 2015. I'm Philip Grant. Arthur Cassano is reporting in the Register Star that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors voted on Wednesday, July the 8th, to request the authority's budget office investigate the recent lending practices of the Columbia Economic Development Corporation. The move came less than a week after Board Chairman Pat Gratton sent a letter to supervisors requesting the action be taken. A report by the ABO released in April found potential conflicts of interest on the part of four CEDC board members involved in the proposed Ginsburg deal and other related issues. The Board of Supervisors last month voted to appoint two supervisors to conduct an internal investigation that relied on the CEDC's cooperation. Supervisor Art Basson agreed with the decision Wednesday to rescind that earlier decision. Basson said, and I quote, "This resolution simply reverses last month's resolution without any guarantee the ABO will act, and that means there is no guarantee there will be an investigation," end quote. Gratton argued that the Board of Supervisors does not have the authority to investigate the CEDC. He said he believes that power rests with the ABO. That is a story that you can read in today's Register Star. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman that representatives from a dozen environmental groups will hold a forum and lead a march on Broadway in Kingston on Thursday, July the 9th, to protest the growing use of the rails and the Hudson River to transport crude oil. The march will start at 5 p.m. in front of City Hall at 420 Broadway. The forum will be held at 6:30 p.m. in the Common Council Chamber at City Hall. The march is being held in memory of the 47 people killed on July the 6, 2013, when a crude oil train exploded in southeast Quebec. Wes Gillingham, program director for Catskill Mountain Keeper, said the forum is intended to provide information on the range of threats to the Hudson Valley, including the proposed 178-mile Pilgrim Pipeline, which would carry Bakken crude from Albany to Linden, New Jersey, largely along the New York Thruway Corridor. The dual-pipe system would carry about 8.4 million gallons per day in each direction. That is a story that you can read in today's Daily Freeman. John Mason is reporting in the Register Star that the Columbia County Economic Corporation Board of Directors has enlisted F. Michael Tucker, former head of Albany's Center for Economic Growth, as the agency's interim executive director. CEDC Board President David Crawford said the contract with Tucker Strategies is not a done deal. But while details are still in negotiation, he believes an agreement is imminent. Tucker is expected to serve as interim head for 3 to 6 months. He served as president and CEO of the Center for Economic Growth from March 2007 to June 2015. While there, he was involved in bringing the computer chip manufacturer Global Foundries to the Capital Region, Crawford said. He is a director of the New York State Economic Development Council and is actively involved in the Capital Region Creative Economy Initiative. Board of Supervisors Chairman Pat Gratton said of Tucker, and I quote, "He's very well regarded, very professional, very capable, and will certainly be an asset to the CEDC," end quote. That is a story that you can read in today's Register Star. Dan Friedman is reporting at Capitol Confidential that U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer said he would fight a Senate amendment that would possibly reduce federal funding aimed at assisting public schools with students from impoverished families. The new Title I funding formula under consideration in the Senate this week would throw 680 New York school districts right under the school bus before the start of the academic year, said Schumer. Congress is weighing the Every Child Achieves Act, a reauthorization of the LBJ-era Elementary and Secondary Education Act. That legislation, signed into law in 1965, targets Title I funds to schools in urban and rural districts that enroll significant numbers of low-income students. The act under consideration would also rewrite No Child Left Behind, the George W. Bush-era education reform legislation. According to data gathered by Schumer's office, under the proposed rewrite, 81 districts in the Capital Region would lose $12.9 million, a more than 30% cut from current funding. That is a story that you can read at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. David Lee in the Columbia paper reports that 66 New York State police and deputy sheriffs from several counties and local animal control officers attended the second annual Investigating Equine Cruelty and Neglect workshop in June in Old Chatham. The Balanced Innovative Teaching Strategies Incorporated, BITS, of Little Brook Farm hosted the workshop to inform local authorities about animal cruelty issues. Law enforcement was told about telltale signs to look for. Steve Neely, one of the 8 veterinarians with Oak and Croft Equine Clinic of Ravenna, said that chewed trees may be an indicator of an underfed animal, but it may also be just an indication of boredom. He said, and I quote, "It must be looked at as part of an overall circumstance," end quote. That is a story that you can read in the Columbia paper. And in our final story, Albany's Capital Confidential blog writes about a spat between New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, describing Cuomo's quote, "Look, the mayor is obviously frustrated he did not get everything he wanted from the legislative session," Cuomo said, speaking slowly as if to educate a child. That came after de Blasio accused the governor of exacting some kind of revenge or vendetta on those who challenge him. But Cuomo can teach de Blasio about how Albany works. Cuomo said, and I quote, "There is something that we have in Albany that you don't have here in New York City, which is called a Republican House," end quote. But the Gawker points out that New York has a Republican Senate in large part because, maybe, at this point, solely because New York's governor wants the Senate to be controlled by Republicans. Voters have voted for a Democratic majority. Sources have told political reporters that Governor Cuomo played an integral role in arranging an alliance between Senate Republicans and a small cadre of Democratic senators who split from the party in order to ensure continued Republican control of the chamber. It's something of an open secret in Albany that Governor Cuomo doesn't campaign for Democratic challenges to incumbent Republican senators during an election season. Governor Cuomo even signed off on a legislative redistricting plan designed to protect incumbent Republican senators by freezing their gerrymandered district lines for a decade. Republicans have managed to maintain their Senate majority, a majority they hold by one seat at the moment, because of the extraordinary work Governor Cuomo has done on their behalf. End quote. Now for the weekend weather. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a flash flood watch for the region, including Greene, Columbia, Dutchess, and Ulster counties, for Thursday, July the 9th. An area of organized showers and thunderstorms will move across the watch area late Thursday afternoon through late Thursday night, producing heavy rainfall in a relatively short period of time. Widespread rainfall amounts of 1 to 3 inches are expected, with isolated amounts over 4 inches possible. For today, the National Weather Service is predicting a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 5 p.m. It will be cloudy with a high near 76 degrees. Chance of precipitation today is 60%. On Thursday night, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 11 p.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. Some of those storms could produce heavy rain. It will be cloudy with a low around 61 degrees. The chance of precipitation for Thursday night is 70%. The forecast for the next 3 days, well, on Friday, it will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a temperature high near 82 degrees. Friday night, it will be clear with a low around 59 degrees. On Saturday, it will be sunny with a high near 84 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 64. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 87 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 64. Sunrise today was at 5:28 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:33 p.m. The length of the day, 15 hours and 5 minutes. 1 minute less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Thursday, the 9th day of July 2015. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.